an individual, a family, a community, a state, a nation. Got water? We're going to talk about what that means today. Well, you know, it's funny that Pastor Lee, when last week he'd mentioned Elijah and Elisha, Elijah being a prophet of judgment, right? Elisha, a prophet of grace, God's grace. And see, I've been sitting on this message. Last time I preached, I had a lead-in scripture that I never got past because God just started speaking to me. You remember the scripture of Romans 15:4? The Amplified Version, where it says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." Remember, I brought that up. So that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope and overflow with confidence in His promises. Through the Scripture, I used to look at Scripture as a place where I could find what was wrong with me. Look at Scripture to where, man, I just don't measure up. But now through God's grace, what He's done in my life and what He's doing in this church's lives, individuals, right? That when I look at the Old Testament accounts, it just brings, I just see so much life coming out of it. So much encouragement. Things in there that change my life forever. But I had written this down several months ago. Elijah's miracles were inclined to destruction of life and death. On the other hand, most of Elisha's miracles were based on life, restoration, as well as healing. Amen? Therefore, it can be said that Elisha was a prophet of grace, while Elijah was a prophet of judgment. But you know what I also written down here? That doesn't mean Elijah was a bad guy, right? He was he was a man of God. But at that time, if we understand what the Old Testament or the Old Covenant was like, you see, without judgment, there is never hope of justification or restoration. Stick with me. You think of Adam and Eve, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were naked. They put, is it fig leaves, it says, or something similar on them? And it said that God clothed them with animals, didn't they? Something had to give its life. There was bloodshed to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. Amen? You think of Noah and the ark. What happened? Noah and his family were saved. But what happened to the rest of the world? Did judgment fall? Yes, judgment fall to begin afresh and anew with the seed of Noah. Judgment came. You think of stories like David and Bathsheba. Remember that debacle in Scripture? Jesus, the son of David? Well, they had a baby. She became pregnant. And what happened to that baby? That baby died. Amen? That baby died. That was judgment. You think of the fall of Israel to the Babylonians, where they just where they had 100% most everybody in that country of Israel was worshiping the Baals, had just utterly forsaken God. So what happened to Israel? They were, the Jerusalem and Israel were ravished. The people were taken out of the country, and they were taken away into Babylon for how many years? Anybody remember? 70 years. That being what? That being judgment. And then finally, we think of that until we get to Christ, right? Mind you that it compares Elijah to who before Jesus came? John the Baptist, right? You read that scripture? And who was, by the way, who was John the Baptist declaring judgment against? The religious leaders, right? The religious leaders. So finally, judgment of sin once and for all came upon who? Jesus. All of wrath. Is all of God's wrath on Jesus, or God actually turning His face to God as He couldn't look upon Him, as He became sin for us and bore our sins and judgment, being exhausted. Where? On the cross. So as we get into what I'm going to read here today, we're going to keep in mind that what judgment has been exhausted at the cross for your and my sins. Isn't that a good news? But it's not only exhausted, was that sin, not only the sins of you and I, but how about the sins of the United States of America that Christ died for? Amen? So does that mean that there's still hope for the United States? For individuals? Amen? So anyway, as I get going through this, so give much thought. Remember when last time I preached, I talked about, hey, is there a promise that you could apply to your life, because the promises of God are yes and amen. And sometimes when we get in struggles or in the middle of a battle, those promises kind of go out the window, right? It's easy. We just start focusing on problem solving. You ever been there? I'm I have that thing. I just start problem solving. Later on, I think, hey, let's just pray about this, hon. You know, a week later. You ever been there? And so we know that scripture, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. By the way, where is glory? Is that a person, place, or thing? Think about it. Glory. His riches and glory. So, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So we're going to come back to that later. Where is glory? You ever thought about that? Where is glory? Where is that stuff stored? Has God got a storehouse? And how do I obtain it? Isn't that true? If his riches are in glory, how do I obtain those things? Where's the key to glory? That's a good question. We're going to come back to that. And so I have four characters. You give me some time to lay this out, because it's the before story is really important as we talk about some characters. So we already talked about it. There's four characters or four individuals that in this story. We already talked about Elijah and Elisha a little bit, right? But I want to talk about three kings to set this up. The first one is the king of Israel. Jehoram is his name. Jehoram. And just to know about his parents were Ahab and Jezebel. Anybody heard of them? And so what did Jehoram grow up seeing? He grew up seeing the judgment of God, did he not? His parents, you know, he either saw it, but he heard about all the prophets that Elijah, remember when they had all the prophets of Baal and another god, actually there was more than 450, there was like 850 or 900 prophets of these false gods there, that Israel was worshiping, and that we know that the fire of God fell down in the sacrifice. What did they do with those false prophets? They exterminated them, correct? Well, that's not the only time. There was another story where Jehoram's brother was king after Ahab died. He wasn't king very long. And it says that he fell through some lattice and became ill and sick. And he sent one of his men to go talk to his God. Didn't say not to God, the God of Israel, but to another God. And so as this man was on his way, to this other God to ask, am I going to live or am I going to die, this king of Israel, Ahab's son. And Elijah stopped him and said, hey, he found this guy. God sent him and said, hey, isn't there a God in Israel that you can go to and ask? He says, go tell your king that he's going to die. Judgment. I'm the one who's the maker of heaven and earth and life. So he goes back and tells this king, I ran into this guy, he was like really hairy. And he had like this weird coat, and just a wild man. And he knew instantly, that's Elijah. And so what did he do? He says, I'm sending 50 men to go talk to Elijah. Remember the story? He sends 50 men and a captain of the 50 men. And they come to Elijah, and what happened? Fire fell and burned up all 50 men and the captain. 51 men dead. The king sends another 50 men and their captain. And what happens? Fire falls again. And the men are consumed. And then they sent a third party who the guy said, please, spare us. Have mercy upon us. And so they were spared. But my point is this is the God of Israel that Jehoram had a understanding. This is what he thought of God, a God of judgment. The second character is king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. Anybody know who Jehoshaphat was? He was a man of God. He was a man of God. He loved the Lord. But he had a struggle. Here's a struggle. He liked to align himself with kings that weren't godly and go to battle and get in trouble. He aligned himself with Ahab one time. Matter of fact, is when Ahab died and they went into battle, and it almost caught Jehoshaphat his life. He aligned himself with a wicked king. But Jehoshaphat trusted the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. But here he is again. The king of Israel, Jehoram, says, hey, would you join me and go to battle? And he says, sure, I'll go with you. Doesn't say anybody ask God, hey, is this a good idea? Lord, should I do this? Should I get unequally yoked with somebody who doesn't follow you or serve you, who worships other gods? But what did Jehoshaphat do? He said, sure. He says, my men are your men. Let's go. We'll do it. And then another king, the king of Edom. These are descendants of Esau, the twin brother of Jacob. I'd liken to this where they have a knowledge of God. See, they're related. They're Americans. Maybe they have some good, wholesome values, but they don't know Jesus. So he said, yeah, I'll go with you. We'll battle. You know, we're voting the same, right? We're under the same banner, so to speak. You have to follow me through the story. So we have King Jehoram, who saw the judgment of God. We've got King Jehoshaphat, who was a man of God, but he liked to get in ungodly alliances and get himself in trouble. And then we have the king of Edom, who was kind of like a distant relative, but knew about God, knew who he was. And so what happens here is we have the king of Moab, the king of Moab and the people of Moab, they were servants to the king of Israel. And they had rebelled. This is the story. They had rebelled after King Ahab had died. They rebelled and said, we're not going to serve you anymore. So that's when this king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat and the other king, would you go up with me? These guys have rebelled. Would you go with me in war with them to bring them back into alliance and serving us? So that's where the story picks up. We're going into battle, these three kings. And it's going to be in 2 Kings chapter 9, 9 through 20. And I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, so the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. They made a circuit of 7 days' journey, but there was no water for the army or for the cattle that followed them. So could you imagine, they make a battle plan, and can you go ahead and put that picture of that desert? And this is a picture of the actual desert that they decided to go into battle. So 7 days in, all of a sudden they realize, we're out of water. We have no water. 7 days in, if you're out of water, where can you go? Can you go back? Are you going to be alive in 7 days? Took 7 days to get there. 7 days turning around, we're going to die. We have no water. We go forward, we have no water. We're going to meet the enemy. We're not going to be able to do anything. So there they are, stuck. Didn't plan. Didn't do anything. And they find themselves 7 days in where all three armies and their cattle that go with them that serve as food have absolutely no water. Got water? So somebody had a bright idea. Let's take this route. We'll sneak up on them. The enemy won't even know we're coming because it's just crazy. And it was crazy. We're going to sneak up on them. So there's what we look like. Verse 10. But verse 9 says there's no water for the cattle. Says, then the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel knows God's judgment, right? So verse 10 says, then the king of Israel said, we are doomed, for the Lord has called these three kings to be handed over to Moab, the enemy. Let me tell you something. When people get in a hard time, when they don't know anything but the judgment of God, they just assume they're doomed. Let me tell you something. If you're even where the United States is right now, and even though the United States put themselves where we're at in many ways, I'm telling you right now, we're not doomed. But there's many people that you can hear even from the pulpit say, we are doomed. The Lord is handing us over. We have no water. We've made our bed. We're going to lie in it. Amen? So these three kings. So the one that knew judgment says, I knew this was going to happen. I've been here before. I've seen it happen to my parents. I've seen it happen to my grandparents. I've seen it happen to my friends. Nothing good here is going to happen. And it's our own fault. This harebrained scheme to sneak up on the enemy, but here we are in the desert and there's no water. No water. Verse 10, verse 11. But Jehoshaphat, he could be a representation of you and I today. Jehoshaphat, you ever done things you said, man, I didn't check on God. Just went for my own wisdom. It could be a business deal. It can be relationships, whatever. Just went, yep, I'll go with you. Don't know where we're going. No idea. There was not going to be any provision. No water. But did everybody just, we had the king of Israel says, oh, we're done. I've been here before. I remember Elijah. I remember Elijah. I remember what happened to the armies of Israel. I remember what happened to the prophets of the gods of my parents. I remember what happened, so I can tell you right now, we're done. We're being handed over. But verse 11, but Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord from whom we may inquire of the Lord? One of the servants of the king of Israel answered, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, but where did Elijah hung out in Israel? They were separated two countries. He was in Israel. So he probably heard of him, Jehoshaphat, heard of Elijah, but he didn't know him probably personally. He said, is there not a prophet that we can inquire of the Lord? One of the servants of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who used to pour water over Elijah's hands. And so we think there, I go right to the verse, first couple scriptures of Hebrews. It says, in the past, God spoke to us how? Through prophets. But today he speaks to us through Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're thinking in this story here that in the past they said, hey, bring us a prophet. Here now we'd say, hey, let's just inquire of the Lord what he wants us to do. We don't have to have a prophet. Amen. We have the Spirit of God that lives within us. And we have the Word of God. We can hear from him even though we're in a tight situation. It's a situation that's like there's no options. What are our options here? No options. Except there's somebody that hears from the Lord. Let's go talk to him. So verse 12, so here they go, say, pour hands who used to pour water over Elijah's hands. Verse 12, Jehoshaphat says, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to Elisha. Now, did Elisha come up to them? No, they came to the Lord. Let those who, all you that are heavy or weary and heavy laden, come to the Lord, right? I know the scripture, but it's not coming to my mind. Let all those who are weary and heavy laden, right, come to the Lord. So they went to the Lord. They'd humbled themselves. They're out of options. Three kings didn't say, hey, Elisha, get up here. No, they went to see the Lord. Amen. In this day and age, Lord, thank you that we're coming to you, coming you to the answer. Father, thank you that the United States is coming to you, the answer, the only answer. Amen. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name right now as we continue through this, such a word for such a time as this. Father, in Jesus' name, nobody put up a fuss. You tell them to come up here. No, we're in dire straits. We'll go down and see Elisha. The heads of three countries said, we'll go see him. A couple of them probably say, whoever this Elisha is. Maybe all three of them at this time didn't really know who Elisha was to a great degree. Let's go to verse 13. It says, now Elisha said to the king of Israel, what business do you have with me? Go to the prophets of your wicked father Ahab and to the prophets of your pagan mother Jezebel. He was busting his chops, wasn't he? But the king of Israel said, did he get upset? No, he'd seen enough. He said, whatever way I was going, the path of my parents, the path of my family, maybe even a path of a past church. But the king of Israel said to him, for the Lord has called these three kings together to be handed over to Moab. So he'd given up. He knew. We're done. I'm not going to raise havoc. I'm not going to threaten to kill Elisha. I'm not going to be like my dad was. I've already seen what happened there. But I know also that I've been here before, and we're done. Have you felt that way? Are you in a situation right now in your life where, man, you're just like, I'm done? You know, it's funny how we can know people, even husbands and wives, and not really know what's going on internally. But I want to tell you today, if you feel like that, like in a situation where it's like, I've been here before, there's no hope, I can't get out, I'm done. And if there's anything that I realize in reading this account is I used to be the same way. I didn't know his grace or his love. I knew all about his judgment. I knew about all the things that I deserved. So I finally came to my end and said, man, I'm done. Can't raise any more havoc. Lord, I don't know which way to turn here. The odds are totally against me. You ever been there? Maybe you're there today. Keep listening. Keep listening. Amen. Elisha said in verse 14, Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts armies lives, before whom I stand, this is Elisha, were it not that I had regard for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or see you, king of Israel. You know, I wonder if, as believers in this country, if we can have that type of spirit where God, because of the believers, can do a mighty work in this nation. There's people burning cities and towns have given up, got no water. But Jehoshaphat, being a believer, he's asking of God, how about you? I'm asking for God for my nation, amen? I'm asking for God for my family. I'm believing God day to day for a better marriage. How about you? So when you look at it for Jehoshaphat, right? If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, how about in America if it wasn't for the believers, the Christians, amen? What would happen to America if it wasn't for the believers? Isn't that true? Crumble with standing up in righteousness. Does God hear the prayer of the ungodly? Or did Jesus die for no reason? He hears our prayers. He wants to hear people's prayers, but it's through accepting Jesus Christ, right? As their God, their maker, Holy Spirit living in them, so we know that He hears our prayers. And even in a desperate situation in areas that seem like there's no answer, we're a Jehoshaphat. Even though we're not perfect, we've made mistakes. Jehoshaphat, I'm telling you, he was a bonehead in some ways. He'd love the Lord, but I'm serious. Someone say he wanted to go to war, he'd say, let's go. And then he about loses his life. Or in this situation where he found him, like, who decided to take this route? Only 7 days in, they're out of water. Can you imagine that? Who came up with that idea? We're going to sneak up on them. We're going to go around the back here. They'll never know we're even coming because we'll never make it. Amen. So 14 again, it says, let me read that again. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts armies lives, before whom I stand, were it not that I have regard for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you, king of Israel. Somebody standing in the gap. Who's standing in the gap for you and I? Jesus Christ, a type of Christ. You know, Elisha, they said, did twice the amount of miracles I had written down here. It said, I had where I was studying, it says, Elijah, 14 miracles and prophecies fulfilled. Elisha had 28 miracles and prophecies fulfilled. What did Jesus say to his believers, to the apostles or his disciples at the time? The works that I shall do, you shall do, and greater works than these. Amen. You see that correlation, Elijah? Destruction. It was necessary at that time. We wouldn't have had Elisha if we didn't have an Elijah. We wouldn't have a church if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Paying the final price. The final price. 15. So after this, I would not look at you or see your face. 15. But now bring me. Here's Elisha again. But now bring me a musician. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to. In the middle of this, we're going to turn towards Him and honor Him. We're going to give Him honor. We're going to praise Him. We're going to worship Him because He's the one that's going to bring us out of this mess. Amen. Can you imagine the three kings standing around and this guy says, get me a musician. Right? It's the foolish things that confound the wise. Amen? Amen. The foolish things that confound the wise. I'm telling you, I'm realizing as I get older, As you get older, you get a little less impressed with yourself. If you... Right, Herb? And you start growing in God, and you start relying on Him. In business situations, in your marriage, and different things, you start seeking Him for the answer. Do you got water? What's water anyway? 15, but now bring me a musician. And it came about while the musician played that the hand power of the Lord came upon Elijah. Well, with us believers, as we're honoring God, we have the Holy Spirit lives in us. Does He not give us the answer? Whatever situation we're in, does He not give us the answer? The kings didn't have the answer. They didn't even know how to get the answer, but Elisha did, didn't he? Bring me a musician. So here's a musician playing, and these three kings looking on like, what's this about? But the Spirit of God showed up. Amen? How about our situations? Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God showing up in our situations. Our families in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Afresh and anew in our churches in Jesus' name. Amen? In our nation. In the White House. In the White House. I believe the Spirit of God is there. And things that happen that make you scratch your head, God is doing miraculous things there. If you're waiting for everything just to line up and just seem like it's just putting together perfect, that's not how God operates. Who gets the credit when it just works out perfectly like man wants it to? Man. But when you take the foolish things or things that shouldn't work out or people that shouldn't be elected, or things start happening in people's heart that you don't understand, you know you got God working, amen? I've seen where Trump is now non-denominational, isn't he? What's going on there? This is a non-denominational church, right? Amen. So we're worshiping the Lord. This is where it just gets so powerful. Remember, the scripture started out with the Word of God is for our encouragement and that we would overflow with what? I'm just kind of going back, refreshing. Overflow with confidence in His promises. Overflow with confidence. Let's start reading about some of His promises here, His victories. So 16, so verse 16, Bill, you got it there? You have 16? So 16 I have said, He said, thus says the Lord, make this valley, this valley, the Araba, full of trenches. So who said that? Elisha said, that valley that has nothing going on there, that's dry, you saw that picture? Go make some trenches. What's the trenches for? Water. Something about doing something by faith. But that they could have said, you're crazy. We're not doing that. We're not going to do that. But by faith, we're going to make some trenches. I thank God that God is showing in our lives individually, Father, areas where we're making trenches, walking by faith, where we're declaring His word. Amen. Declaring His word is what's like digging trenches now. Thank you, Lord, the promises of God. Amen. Thank you, Father, for blessing my family. Thank you for your provision on my life. Amen. Thank you for blessing my marriage. Amen. Thank you for blessing my children. Thank you for blessing my church. We're making trenches by faith, declaration, digging. Digging. We're preparing for what? You got water? Got water? This is so powerful. Verse 17 now, Bill. For thus says the Lord. Today, for today, thus says the Lord. You will not see wind or rain, yet that valley will be filled with water. So you and your cattle and your other animals may drink. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that, God. Didn't see rain, didn't see wind. There's nothing at all we see, and all of a sudden water is going to appear. We thank you, Father God, the water of God bringing the promises of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit, Father God, speaking fresh and new to your people, Father God. In Jesus' name, the water, the Spirit of God is provision in our lives, strength in our lives, victory over addiction in our life. In Jesus' name, Lord, we declare that today, Father God, in the midst of your people, Father God. Water, Lord, as we declare the Word of God as we're digging trenches. Digging trenches. Not going to stand for that anymore. I'm not going to live in depression anymore. Not going to be stuck in addiction anymore. fresh water. Amen. And I love 18. This is verse 18, Bill. This is but a simple thing in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord. He will also hand over the Moabites to you. Wow. Wow, the Moabites. Who are these Moabites? Well, they were, by the way, the Moabites were the descendants of Lot. That incestual relationship between Lot and his daughters. It was something that was familiar, but not right. It could be, today I think of the Moabites, as we'll read, as things that people will go to for comfort when they don't have water. You know, addictions. It's not to shame anybody. Have you? Man, I've been there. He loves us. We're born again. But the Lord is going to break the chains of the Moabites, those things that we're familiar with, things that people go back for comfort, but they don't bring comfort. They're a part of you, but it's not. It's incestual. It's not part of truth. It's not right. It was the Moabites that they were going after. And see, before, King Ahab he used the Moabites as comfort. He got monies from them. They were his slaves. But they were comfort to him. But now this addiction, this thing in their life, in their country, was now going to bite them. Because they kept petting it, and it was okay. But now all of a sudden, we realize we've got no water. We've got no place to go. But the Lord speaks to us, amen. By faith, dig those trenches. Amen. I love that scripture, because in that scripture 18, this is but a simple thing. This is a simple thing. Isn't that amazing? Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. It's a simple thing for you. Let us see that. A simple thing by your hand. Lord, let us not make it too difficult. Ever made anything more difficult than it should be in your life? Thank you, Lord, for this. It's the things that you're doing in our lives, our community, our nation, but is a simple thing for you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that. A simple thing. Amen. Do you believe that? Those things that you struggle with, the things that keep you tied down or humped over, the Lord looking to the Lord to break those things once and for all, the Moabites in our lives. Father, we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 18 again just says, this is but a simple thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also hand over the Moabites to you. Verses 19, you shall strike. This is talking about the Moabites. So we're talking about, how is he going to take care of those things that we struggle with, or those things that would come against a nation, or things that would come against a family? You shall. What's he going to do with those things? You shall strike every fortified city, talking about the Moabites, and every choice principal city, and cut down every good tree, and stop all sources of water, And ruin every good piece of land with stones. The Moabites were going to be gone forever. Cut off completely. No more water from them. Nothing to come back and creep back and just keep creeping back and keep bringing you down. Those things are going to be broken off completely. Amen? Verse 20. It happened in the morning, when the sacrifice was offered, it happened that morning when they just said, thank you, Jesus, for this day. We believe that the word of God. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for your anointing in our lives. Father, that's our sacrifice today, the sacrifice of praise. Amen, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We believe your word. We declare the truth over our lives. Father, we thank you for that, Father. So as they got up that morning and began to pray and thank the Lord, the sacrifice was offered, that suddenly water came miraculously from the area of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for filled with water. Holy provision, the power of God, the Spirit of God. Who did that? Was it any of those three kings that made that happen? Was it God's fault that they found themselves where they were at in the desert? No, is it God's fault that where our nation is at, where it is now? No. But even in that, what did God do? He brought water. He brought life. And I tell you, that life today is just the power of God in our lives, giving us victory. We're called to walk in joy. I love saying that thing. We're not called to cope. We're called to conquer. Amen? Not called to cope, but called to conquer. And it's through the working of the Holy Spirit, His Word becoming life in us, His Spirit leading and guiding us through the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. See, I've got one or two scriptures memorized. Not quite as many as Pastor Lee, but that's okay. That's why I got my notes. Darn it. Miraculously, from Edom. It wasn't even where they were expecting. It didn't come from Israel. It didn't come from Judah. It came from Edom. You never know where God's provision is going to come from. Don't put God in that box, a religious box, that what He's going to do in your life has to come from what is known to you. God does miraculous things from a direction you don't know, from an area you don't realize, from an area you won't expect. It reminds me of that scripture, just John 3:3. I'm going to read to you, or starting in John 3:4. It says, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So everyone who is born of the Spirit," don't put that box. No telling where God's going to bring that provision in your life. Don't try to guess where God's going to lead you or direct you next. Just be open. Just be open as He leads and directs us. And there, if you need fresh water, you felt dry, just know He's there. So far, what we've learned is what they do is they were worshiping the Lord. God didn't browbeat on them and say, "Hey, you put yourself in this situation. You have to get yourself out." When we're in a situation that there's just no way out, God loves doing a miracle in that situation. Don't you agree? And talking to the persons I was a few days ago, trying to get them to see that. Trying, after being indoctrinated years after year about how things are supposed to be done to get victory in a marriage or victory over addiction or whatever. No. They couldn't see the simple thing of God's water, trusting in His Word, letting Him direct them, letting Him lead them. Amen? Fresh water. A couple more scriptures here that I just want to... So, we're talking about that in Philippians 4:19. If we could put that up again, Bill. "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." So they supplied that water. They supplied so they could live, drink water. Their animals could be watered, amen? And they went and whooped the enemy, even though they had a hair scheme plan, amen? So I wanted to say, what does that word glory mean? So if you go to the Greek, it's the word is doxa. And it means dignity, honor, praise, and worship. His supply right there in honoring Him in our lives. Worshiping Him. We know it is because the next scripture, F420, says, "Now to our God and Father be the glory," uses the same word, "forever, forever and ever." And it means the exact same thing. It's no different. Doxa, dignity, honor, praise, and worship. Amen. I have a few more scriptures, but if I could say in this time, you know, we're during worship, honoring Him, worshiping Him. Maybe be here during the worship. Just saying, Sunday morning, what a powerful time. I'm not judging anybody or anything, but worship. I found this statement I thought was interesting from A.W. Tauzer. Anybody heard of A.W. Tauzer? He says, "The church that can't worship must be entertained. And men who can't lead a church to worship must provide the entertainment." Lord, I pray that for me, just looking at that, Lord, I'm here to worship you, hear from your word. I'm not here to be entertained. That's a tough place to be as a pastor, if you feel like you got to entertain people. But if you're here worshiping him during the time of praise and worship, if we're here during the hearing of the word, we're actually worshiping him. The word is like water. Right now, the word is like water washing over us. Those dry areas, I declare, Father, right? And if you've got dry areas, worship him. Hey, Father, thank you for touching those dry areas. Thank you for opening up our ears, Lord, and our eyes to you, Father God. Thank you that we're in by your Spirit, Father God, by declaration of the word, we're digging trenches right now that are going to be filled up with water because we're believing your word. What happens if those three kings hadn't gone back and started to dig those ditches? Water just would have swept through there and had been gone, right? But by faith they believed. They went out and dug those ditches, something that seemed crazy, totally crazy, and God provided for them. Amen. Thank you. A few more scriptures here that I love. Isaiah 43:19. For you and I today, Old Testament talking about New Testament, New Covenant promises. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Bill, can you show that second picture? This is how I kind of look at it when you're in a desert. God always, no matter where you're at, providing water. Because there's really nothing growing around there, is there? Just along that edge there. And you should be planted by the rivers of water, right? But you know Psalms 1 if you've been going to this church for any amount of time. Your tree shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. That water is His Word and His Holy Spirit in us. You could be in the midst of a desert and God provide everything you need. Amen. Isaiah 41:18. I will open up rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. Amen, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let me ask you again, do you got water? Amen. If you need that, if you feel like dry, can we just lift our hands real quick? Father, we thank you. Father, we receive of you. You live in us already, but sometimes we can pursue things, do things on our own route or not try, or we don't think about how you might lead us. We can find ourselves in a dry area. But Father, we thank you. I thank you that even in a dry area, Father, you're there to bring pools of water. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for pools of water in our life. Father, we thank you for times of refreshing. How about you, times of refreshing in Jesus' name? Father, as you crush the Moabites, Father, we thank you for crushing addictions in our lives right now, right? Maybe you've been going a dry path, maybe things on a computer screen or whatever, trying to find something that brings comfort. Father, thank you. We look to you as you break those things, Father God. Addictions, Father, those things that keep us crippled. We thank you for breaking those, Lord, as we get your clean water in our lives, Father. Your true satisfaction, drinking from the rivers, your rivers. Father, we thank you for that, Father God. For this church, we thank you for the river of God that flows through this church. The Holy Spirit, Father God, and joint heirs with Christ, Father God, as you link us together with different giftings and abilities, Father, for your purposes, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that our only purpose is out there just working, accumulating. How about you? As I've tried to do that, Lord, I know there's more. How about you? There's more. So, Father, we want everything that you have for, if this is your church, everything you have for us individually, family-wise, as a church, Father God. Lord, the giftings, the abilities, the things that you created us for before the world was even made. But, Lord, it only happens when we have those pools of water in our lives, Father God. We thank you for those pools of water. Father, we thank you for those areas, Father God, of discouragement, Father God, that you are drying those things up, Lord, with the water of God, Father God. Bring life in those areas, Father. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus, as we come alive in you, victorious in Christ Jesus, victorious in you. Amen. A couple more scriptures here. Can you have a couple more scriptures? You guys got another half hour, Andy. Come on. Right, Herb? This is Jesus, just more about the water. This is Jesus in John 7:37 through 39. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture says," Jesus said, as the scripture said, "from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. John 4:10. Jesus answered and said to her, the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Man, just a reminder, Lord, who the gift of God in our lives is. Father, we thank you for the gift of God. Reminding ourselves. If the worship team wants to come, but Lord, reminding ourselves in Jesus' name, the gift of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God doing miracles in our lives again, Father. We thank for fresh and anew looking to you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Lord, we thank you for breaking those things over our lives, Father God, that keep us crippled, that keep us downtrodden, discouraged. Father, we thank you for your word, your living word today, bringing life to those areas. How about you, saints? Amen. Let's stand up together. Has the Lord blessed you today, this quiet group? Did you hear his word today? Thank you again, Lord. As we'll sing a song and dismiss. I hope that this week that the Lord just continue to focus on those areas that he wants to bring life, liberty, freedom. Those dry areas that you maybe you're like, I don't know what to do. I can't go back, but I don't feel like I can go forward. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. He'll do a miracle right where you're at.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yeah. Amen.
And just as this last song, and then we'll be dismissed, I'll stay up here. If you guys don't mind coming up, if you need prayer, Mom and Dad, if you don't mind coming up, if you just want someone to agree with you. But as we worship this, remember, I didn't really get into it too much, but God inhabits the praises of his people.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me say, when you're in a difficulty, something about when we worship him. Remember Paul and Silas, where the door swung open? What were they doing?
Worshiping
the Lord, amen? In a tough situation. I think when those situations come where the enemy wants us to give up and say, like King Jehoram, nothing we can do, we're doomed. But like Jehoshaphat said, bring me somebody to play an instrument. We're going to worship the Lord. Let's worship him a minute this morning, can you? Maybe open up your heart. Maybe by faith, maybe dig a ditch or two for his water. How about digging a couple ditches? By faith. They hadn't seen the water yet. Had they seen the water yet? Had they ever even heard of such a thing? No, one king had only seen judgment. Jehoshaphat was saying, "Here I go again. I made a stupid decision." And the third king says, "Well, I'm along for the ride here. Let's see what happens." What happens to the enemies of God? Not only did they go into battle, but they put a whooping on them. They just—we never heard about the Moabites again. Their land was destroyed. They'll be like the enemies of God, the enemies of you and I, things that keep hanging on. Digging ditches. Let's worship together. Once that's over, we dismiss. Amen.